I'm Holly.
And I'm Bridget.
And this
is Girls Next Level.
Welcome back to Girls Next Level, everybody. Today, we have a very special guest with us today. If you haven't guessed, because we've been talking about him for like the last three episodes, but we have Stephen Molesky here. He is a makeup artist extraordinaire. He did Bridget and Kendra's makeup for years, but particularly on this Europe trip we just got done talking about. And he has a ton of stories, which I don't even know. So I'm so excited to hear. Now, since he did Bridget's makeup, I'm going to pretty much turn the interview over to her. I'll just be over here interrupting as I usually do. So welcome, Stephen.
Thanks for having me.
Yay. I'm so happy you're here.
I know. We've had so much to talk about. And I did you the other day. And you're like, we're not talking about it.
Yeah. I kept saying, no, don't tell it. Wait, save it for the show. Because it's always best when it's fresh.
Yes.
And the first time. I want to back way, way up because I know we're going to talk all about the Europe trip. I know we're going to talk about all of the stuff Playboy related and everything. But I want to know more about like just you and who you are. And like, where did you grow up? Because you weren't always in LA, were you?
I'm from Florida, a small town, Bradenton, Florida, right north of Sarasota. But I was always into an art major and painting, whatever. But quick story, which I thought was so interesting, is that previous to me being at the mansion and working with you guys, I worked with a lot of playmates. And like, they would always tell me in Atlanta, I worked with Kimber West, who was a big playmate, and she did like Helmut Lang and all these different photographers she worked with. But she would always be like, you need to go to LA. You'd be amazing. You need to work with Playboy. And it was the funny thing is the first time that I arrived at The Rock and was coming to the Playboy Mansion, I was like, this is like a full circle, because everybody had told me for so long about you need to be a Playboy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was from Florida and I moved to Atlanta. And then in 2005, I thought I was going to pick up and go to LA and drive around on a Vespa and do makeup and whatever. And I moved out here and I got the quick reminder that LA is very big and you can't ride around on a Vespa. So I was trying to find work. And I didn't work for like 8 months.
Wait, how were you going to get that makeup bag?
I know, that's in my head. You know how those fantasies, you never go somewhere and you're like, oh, it's the California dream. You're going to have a backpack.
When he came to my room the other day to do my makeup, he literally had three giant suitcases of stuff.
Oh, damn.
And I was like, holy shit. Like,
Now I travel and I do like every single skin type. And I have like, you know, one day it'll be a campaign. One day it'll be something else. But so I do have a huge kit. But back then I was 25, had never been to New York. Or
just had
LA.
A few pieces in your pocket.
I just had like a small kit. And so like, but the fantasy was, is like, go to LA and make it big. And I was going to work with Whitney Houston or Christina Aguilera and like all this fantasy, because like I was a small town kid that had these dreams of working with big stars, but I didn't have ever, like, I never had an agency, never had that like fashion forward, like I'm going to, you know, work with this person. I just was like always doing what I loved. The thing is, for 8 months, I didn't work. And I was like, my parents were supporting me. I was like trying to get jobs on Craigslist. And then my girlfriend, Martina Andrews, had done a video with Cara Monaco and with Carmen Electra. And Martina put me in touch with Cara. Cara and me fell in love. And we did makeup a few different times. And it's right at the time that she was going to be Playmate of the Year. And then she talked to you because I think you guys liked what I did. And then we did like one job. I think it was actually the Captain commercial. No, it was Guitar World. And then Captain. And then we did Europe.
Because I was going to say, we were way too friendly when the Captain came.
Yeah.
We were joking around whether he's going to be hot or not. Stuff like that.
Because it was one of those where I think that, I mean, it was a long time ago, but it was one of those where I feel like they put episodes before other episodes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was a mess.
Yeah. Because to me, in my head, I thought Europe was like after Guitar World, because the publicists Rob and Terry were like, as soon as we worked on Guitar World, I feel like every single day or something, I was getting a call from the girl, Bridget and Kendra have this, Bridget and Kendra have that, and we were off and running. But I feel like I remember Mary, God rest her soul, Mary calling me up into the attic, because I always thought of it. And then who was the coworker that was there?
Norma,
yes. Mary loved me, but Mary was like my grandmother to me. Like, she was just very much like very, very, very nice and warm, but very blunt. Like, she just was like, so the girls want you. Hef says it's okay. What's your rate? And I'm like, and mind you, this is like my fourth job in LA. Like I had not, or like very, very new. And I'm just like, it's two girls, it's hair, it's makeup, $400. And she's like, okay, done. And so I was like going for $400 a day for 2 weeks to Europe. And it was, but it was one of those where I'm like, now when I think about it, I'm like, that, in LA, that was so cheap. Yeah. It was, but I had no idea because you guys were like my first opportunity, like the foot in the door in Hollywood. So it was just like one of those, like looking back at it, it was so eye-opening, but so magical and like innocent, if you will.
Yeah.
Because of like everything that was involved, like so many firsts and just...
Well, from our perspective, like we, you know, had so many different events and so many different things that we needed hair and makeup for. And we would always pull from the studio. Mm-hmm. Like we would get Sarah or Kim, one of those people to come and do our makeup. And but they were getting pulled too thin because they also have to do the Playmates makeup and people that are testing. And they're like, well, we can't do their makeup that day. We have somebody shooting that day. And so they're like, we need to get another makeup artist. And I was asking some of the Playmates, like, who do you get your makeup done with? Like when you're here, who does your makeup for the parties and stuff? And I remember Kara saying, oh, Steven, he's amazing.
Yeah. Kara, we had a conversation and I was like, I have to say it. I'm like, Martina Andrews, like, opened the door. Because, you know, it's especially in LA, it's all about who you know and who actually says your name in the room. And it's one of those where, like, it's all word of mouth. My entire career has been word of mouth. Like, she pulled me in. And then she had another girl that was testing or was doing a spread at the time. She got pregnant by some famous celebrity. I can't remember.
Was it Jillian?
Jillian, yes. Jillian. So Jillian used me. And then it was like, I think after the next party, I got the call from Terry that I was going to come in for I want to say it was, you used me for the Guitar World and I had never met you or anything.
That could be. Yeah. Yeah. So that makes sense.
Yeah.
What was your thought of Playboy before you even came? Like,
well, I worked at Cheetah, which was a strip club in Atlanta, but it was like a gentleman's club, like a 5-star diner or dinner. Mm-hmm. And it was like very, very nice. But they had like a lot of really like beautiful girls. Like, it was just one of those where like I knew nothing about it, but I also was so like empowered by confident women and beautiful women that I just saw the beauty in that kind of photography because I was always like immersed in it. I guess I had this thought of what Playboy would be and like what Hef was. And it was the complete difference of it. It was like where I thought it was going to be this like over the top fantasy. It was more like this over the top. Like I remember pulling up and like the security and all the different levels of what the mansion was, but like all the girls and you guys, it was more like a very non-formal family because there was like a lot of the dynamics of like, we didn't speak a lot, but we always engaged each other. Mm-hmm. But I always was like, okay, so she's like the ruler of the house. And it's like keeping her eye on like what's all going on because I dealt with Kendra a lot. And like me and Kendra became like brother and sister because we were closer in age and she would just like unload all of the things that she was going through with like whether it was personal life or just the dynamics. And then like you were like the party girl, like the always happy, always had the themes and was like more of the all-American kind of personality that like it was this three different dynamics, but like what you would see in a family, a dysfunctional family or weird, whatever the right word is, but it's one of those where it was just like there was definitely a dynamic. And then it was just always weird to me because everyone changed whenever Hef came down and everybody like fine-tuned.
Interesting.
Like how I want to say this in the nicest way, but it was like you Stepford-wived it, like, because everybody, if you guys were disagreeing, you all got along whenever he was around. There's very little, like, in the mansion around other people that anyone wasn't, like, behaving.
Yeah, I'm so glad you pointed that out, because it's true. Like, it was scary a little bit. Like, you had to be a certain way or you'd be in trouble.
Yeah.
For sure.
I will say this much, is I'm a good read of people, and, like, and I know a lot of people are probably wondering, but, like, Hef, I respected a lot. But after I saw how he reacted to me, I was like, you are really insecure. And you are really threatened by the worst things in the world. Because
it's astounding.
I know you guys have talked about like, I was a 180 pounds, some like skinny little gay boy, super happy, like bouncing off the walls whenever I was around you guys, super non-threatening. And then like whenever everything happened, which we'll get into, I was just like, you're worried about me. But then it made sense of like, the backstory is like a lot of the girl, like Mary told me, mm-hmm. like a lot of the girls had different things going on, which yeah. we'll get into. But
yeah. What were your thoughts of the mansion itself? Like the upkeep of it and the way it looked? And
so the biggest thing that I thought of is that it was a time capsule. And there's a lot of things that I was like really shocked about. Like whenever like plugging in plugs and the plugs didn't work because I was like, because the,
oh no.
Well, no, because I like have to search yeah. and it was like, especially in hindsight, because like I've gone into many celebrity houses mm-hmm. and there's, it's super high tech and everything. Yeah. And it was very much like a time capsule. And there's a lot of things that I was like, oh, me and Hef shared the same birthday. So
stop,
like,
I didn't know that.
April 9th. I forgot about
that. Oh my God.
Yeah. Which we can get in because I know you have a question about the parties. But there were so many things that I was like, oh, he likes the same foods. Cause I would see like he'd mm-hmm. have the, you know, Monday was one or two options. Tuesday was a couple options he got to choose from. And I'm the same way whenever I cook for my husband. I'm like, you have like seven different meals and we rotate them yeah. and we might change them up a little bit, but it's like the conformity. I was like, oh, that's kind of like interesting. But it was just interesting that there were so many things that was a time capsule. And then like, I love animals. And so like mm-hmm. every time that like I had downtime, I was out like looking at Coco and yeah. I was always like, I want to hold her. And like, it was always so fascinating to me, like just how much of a, like to go to the grotto and hear all the stories that you see, like the Hollywood movies make out to be. And I'm like, this happened here. And it's like, but then you see like at a party, the whole house came alive.
Yeah, it was so, it totally changed.
It was totally different.
Yeah. What were your thoughts on us girls?
On his girls?
On us girls.
No, like I said, I like whenever, so whenever I came there, it was just the three of you. And yeah. I was never being around women of so all different types and just, I kind of let everyone be like, whatever's you're doing, I accept. And like, as long as it doesn't affect me. And nothing ever seemed weird to me except for Hef. And it was just one of those where, because you guys all seemed really normal. And I wouldn't say that I got like, like I felt like something was up with y'all, but I just felt like it was a time and a place. And it was a character that you guys were filling at that moment, because of the same sense, we're filming a reality mm-hmm. show, or you were filming a reality show. And it was one of those where you guys ticked the boxes for what he wanted. And to me, honestly, I never saw any of like a sexual relationship at all yeah. from any of you, other than the fact that I knew you were a number one girlfriend mm-hmm. and shared the room. Yeah. But there was nothing of a typical relationship or like that energy that I was like, oh, that's weird. It just, it never like mm-hmm. crossed my path.
Yeah.
I never had like a preconceived. Now, like whenever I, when I, once I left, not left, but I started working with other things, I would see other girls that would come to the mansion and I'm like, it would just be like, I would see the different personality. I'm like, that doesn't fit. Or like, cause I would sometimes see the girls when they're like visiting and they'd be eating breakfast while mm-hmm. I'm doing or setting up and having conversations. And I'm like, oh, you have no idea what's going on. Or
oh it's
what,
God.
Not in a way, but like yeah. just being able to like, not vet them, but meeting them and talking to them. And I'm like, oh, you're going to have a eye opening or some of the girls coming in and they'd say something to me and I'm like, oh, you are not going to go far. Cause it would be
so interesting
because yeah. they would talk about like the fame or the show mm-hmm. or worrying about it. And I'm like, and I had like Kara mm-hmm. to like go off of like, you made Playmate of the Year.
Yeah.
This is the type of caliber that, or Tiffany. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm like, no.
Yeah. That's so interesting.
Yeah. So
DraftKings Casino is bringing you only the best. Classics like blackjack, roulette, and slots, plus exclusive games you won't find anywhere else.
I love the slots.
Yes.
I'm like crazy. Like, I love going up and sitting at the bar with like the video poker mm-hmm. stuff. Like, I just love it. And I love doing it with my mom or like yeah. my aunt and stuff. Like, it's kind of like a fun family bonding thing. It's not like I do it so much, uh-huh. but I do enjoy it. And just to pass a few moments, like when I'm waiting for something or somebody. And I just think it's a lot of fun.
Download the DraftKings Casino app now and use code NEXTLEVEL. New players get an instant deposit match up to $100 in and casino credits when you deposit $5 or more. That's code NEXTLEVEL only on DraftKings Casino. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. 21 plus. Physically present in Connecticut, Michigan, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, West Virginia only. Void in Ontario. Eligibility and other restrictions apply. One per new customer. Must opt in and make minimum $5 deposit within 7 days, 168 hours of registering new account. Maximum match $100 in casino credits, which require one-time playthrough within 7 days, 168 hours. See terms at casino.draftkings.com/newplayer offer 2024.
Was the staff and the other guests and stuff nice to you at the mansion?
Everybody was really, really nice. Like Steve and, oh my God, what Steve was the bald security guy.
Yeah.
We had great rapport. And
Joe.
Joe was great with me. And they laughed at the fact of like how I was being handled because it was like they had to enforce it. But they were always really nice.
This is so stupid.
Yeah, it was very stupid. But the thing is that everybody was very, very nice. Norma could be kind of short and bitchy. Mary was, like I said, was like a grandmother or like a parent to me or grandmother to me, like where she just said it.
Yeah.
And like Europe made me like realize my place in the world. It's probably also why I realized whenever you're like, you're the makeup artist, you're here to do what you do. And that's kind of been implemented into my brain because she was just like, he doesn't want you around. You're here to make do the girls. You'll do the girls.
Oh my God.
You won't say anything, be a fly on the wall, and we'll let you know and show up on time and like would just tell me to be gone.
Wow.
But okay, aside from Mary and Norma, was it difficult to work with us?
No.
Oh, good.
No. The thing is that like what you have to remember is that like I came from an unorthodox, like I worked at Mac and then I worked at a strip club and worked with so many different women and I would deal with normal ones that deal with everything. So I was used to dealing with a lot of women and a lot of personality. And so I kind of like just went with everything. And like I said, I could, as a people person and knowing my job of like the psychology behind being a beauty expert is I was like, okay, I knew your demeanor. I knew the dynamics right away that Kendra was the young time bomb that was like, was like annoying because you never knew what you're going to get. And like, even as a makeup artist, like I was just always like, I felt bad for her. And we bonded really close, but that also, you know, she did me wrong, but unintentionally. But as far as like, you guys were great. The only thing I will say is I put it in my notes is that I always try to bond more with you, Holly.
Me? That's impossible task.
But I'm saying is because we like once you like with the flamingo or not the flamingos with peacocks, the white peacocks and then the hyacinth. And I was like telling you the stories and like, I always tried to like connect with you on that level. But I also knew that's why I was just like, she's got 15 things going on of like, the dynamics that were going on behind the scenes.
No, I super appreciate that. I'm a tough person to connect with though. So it's not just you.
But there was like times where when we did have like moments, cause I have a picture somewhere where you guys are all sitting on my lap and we're in Vegas and it's like, so we had moments, but it was one of those where everybody was easy. And I could always knew how you always seemed the most stressed. Because you were, I think Holly, you came off, or for me, you came off as secure in the position, and then you were kind of like, you were in the ear of health. And you were the next in position, but had to deal with Kendra. You were also trying to put out fires because you were hearing it kind of like where I was at. Like you would hear at the same time, because we'd be in the hair and makeup chair, where you'd be hearing it from the publicist, or you'd hear from Mary come up and tell us what was going on. So you were getting the bomb dropped on you of what was going to be needed or what have changed or something. And then, you know, little Kendra would come in afterwards with her wet hair and like, just be like, okay, I don't care. And fuck it. And, you know, I throw a mascara on her if I got the time. But I think that's, everybody was, it was easy. Pretty much. Yeah.
So like you said, we did the Guitar World. We did Captain Morgan. And then you did other things in between there and stuff, like a whole bunch of things. Yeah. Anything memorable about the Captain Morgan ad that you want to add?
I mean, he didn't break character. And I mean, I do remember that's I did touch you up for the Captain Morgan.
You got to do something.
I know, because you never did your makeup. And it was one of those where it wasn't needed, but it was always... I was told from Mary, if Holly wants something or needs something, give it to her. But yeah, the Captain Morgans, he just didn't break character. And then I know that Kendra was pissed that she couldn't be a part of it.
Stop, because she tried to act so hard toward us in the show, like she didn't give a shit. Because the show really expected her to be super pissed. Like Kevin told me that he expected her to like stomp around and be like, haters, haters. But she very much, like, I think she sensed that and didn't want to give them that. So she very much acted unbothered. And I thought she was unbothered. I had no idea. Was,
so I think it was more the money aspect or that part of it. I don't think it was necessarily that she couldn't be there that day, but she was pissed that she didn't have that same opportunity because of her age.
Yeah.
So interesting. I remember that. I don't remember the exact caliber, but I know that she wasn't happy because I remember her telling me about it.
Yeah. Well, she got to earn money in lots of ways we weren't allowed to. So
it's true. Yeah. I just remember I really liked my hair and makeup that day. I had the big hair.
Yeah. No, we had it. No, well, the thing that was fun with here's a great story. So I had never worked with clip-in extensions before working with yours. And I remember working with Bridget and I think me and you bonded the most. Like with Kendra, our dynamic was like I was like the protective brother, making sure that she didn't like get in trouble. We bonded because I saw how meticulous you were with your look, which you had set up with like the extensions. And you're like, so I have a few extensions, and you laid them out on the table. And I was like, I'm gonna nail this. And we got there and it was great, but it was one of those where we set that bar. But I also love that you always wanted to try things and always were open to things, but then you trained me, and I say in the best way is that my success in my career is like I learned do what I love and do the look, but there has to be like 20% that you give to the client and let them just, if they want to have their bang a certain way, they want to have a lash a certain way, where I think, you know, it was great because working with you and then working with Kendra and then also like working with multiple people, I learned how to like successfully make everyone feel really beautiful and empowered. But yeah, you threw the challenge at me because you're the extensions, but we and it was a cover. And I was like, all right, because I knew how to curl hair and do everything. But like, it was that there was all the clip-in extensions, which was like one of those where I was like, all right, I got this. Because you had a full process of how you put them in.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was, you always had
a pattern to it.
It was a pattern. And then I think I wound up making you a set down the road or something. Yeah. I mean, how many years was it? It was.
How many what?
Years did we work together?
I don't even know. I think it's one of the questions I was going to ask you.
Okay. I think we'll figure that out.
Okay. So then the Europe trip comes. And yes. They ask you how much, you totally undersell yourself.
So I just, they asked me how much.
I don't know. Do you think that's underselling for even back in 2006 when this was? Yeah.
Okay. Well, so here's the thing is that I was getting paid $600 to do the two of you hair and makeup for press. So like if you went and did something, it was $600. But I told you, like Europe was like my second or third job with you.
Yeah.
Or at least the conversation of that and like being up in Mary's office. And I just threw it out thinking, oh my God, it's like 14 days. We're going all over. And I didn't want to not get it because it was so like awesome. And I just threw out that number. And she's like, I think Mary actually, after we agreed to it, she's like, I think you could have gotten more. Said something of that caliber. But I knew I was happy with that because, I mean, I was like fresh into LA and and it was like an experience. And like, honestly, it's one of the, I mean, who gets to say that in your career, you went like with Hugh Hefner on his private plane with the girls and saw everything that even I was allowed to see such a huge part of it.
Yeah.
That it's still like so like the only thing that comes close or equal to it is the I did Mel B and the Spice Girls for the Olympics.
Oh, fun.
And that was
That's
like
so
a
cool.
moment too that like it's one of those that nobody else can have that yeah. memory.
Yeah. So one of the things I love to do when I have free time is hidden object games. Like I'm obsessed with it.
I love them too.
June's Journey is a hidden object mystery game with a captivating detective story taking you back to the glamour of the 1920s with a diverse cast of characters. Each new scene takes you further through a thrilling murder mystery story that sets the main protagonist, June Parker, on a quest to solve the murder of her sister and uncover her family's many secrets.
I feel like this game was kind of made for us because we love mysteries. We love the 1920s. We love anything visual. We love little brain teasers.
100%.
I love it so much. You too can dive into June's captivating quest to uncover a scandalous hidden family secret. Escape to a bygone age of mystery, danger, and romance. It's set on a journey through the glamorous roaring 20s. It's June's job to discover the truth behind the unexplained death of her sister. This game is about a daring young woman, June, traveling to her sister's estate to uncover scandalous family secrets. There's mystery, there's danger, there's romance, all the things we love. Where will each new chapter take you?
Can you crack the case? Download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. Okay, so we're on the Europe trip.
Uh-huh.
Are you excited to go?
Oh my God, I was like, well, first and foremost, like going back to being up with Mary and her, like setting everything up and like, you know, you walk into her office and it was like the ceilings were super low and just like all super dark. And she's like, so this is what's going to be and this is how it's going to be. And she's like, pack light. And I just, it was just very much like, this is what you're going to expect. And I couldn't catch up with my emotions of like, cause I was excited, yeah. but I was nervous. And it was like, you gotta remember, like I didn't have any like big celebrity fame or anything of that caliber. And so like to be like, I'm going on Hugh Hefner's private plane on a TV show, like a hit TV show. It was like, I couldn't process it all, mm-hmm. but I was super, super excited. And I think that's why like, whenever I'll look back at like the clips of like when we're on the Tim's and the clotted cream and everything, I couldn't get the words out because I was just so excited and happy to be a part of what you guys were experiencing.
Yeah.
Because it was like, I was a fly on the wall, but I was still, because we were like friends and like hung out like as much as we could because of the dynamics of what was going on. And then like Kendra, I was kind of like, always having to like protect her or be her like sidekick because of the dynamic that we had. And I also think that Mary put a little bit of the responsibility on me of like keeping her
Make
in
sure
check.
She's ready and
she's
time,
ready, yes. ready, put it in her ear, like, you know, manage her. But yeah, it was so much fun. It was honestly me and my husband, we talk about going back and I'm like, I saw so many places, but I'm yeah. like, I didn't experience them because it was all through Hef's schedule. And like, I remember like being in the villa in Nice and like, we were there. It was like a wink, like a blink.
Yeah.
It was just like,
hours.
It was like,
yeah.
I remember showing up and maybe we're going out of order, but showing up in Nice and like, this huge villa. And then it's like, okay, dinner's ready and we're leaving to go have dinner, glam. And we didn't even have time to do makeup or it was something crazy.
Yeah.
Because of the schedule. Because it was just like, go, 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 go. And only in Paris and in Rome did I feel like it kind of like took a pause. Well, Rome took a pause because that's whenever I was banned.
No. Well, let's get into it. Yeah. So the plane ride there, nothing eventful, right?
No, I mean, the plane ride is where I met Hef. Like had one-on-one, like he said, whatever his normal thing, nice to see you, nice to meet you. Like, but it was kind of like vacant.
Yeah.
He said, it was very like, he had said it 100,000 times in his life.
Yeah.
Respectful and everything. Mm-hmm. But I want to say, and don't hold me to it, but I was given very much a direction of like, out of sight, out of mind. You're here to do makeup. Don't do it too personal. Like, it was very much like a stay out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
And I was told that this is something that Hef typically has never done. So don't ruin it for the girls because it was something that it was a splurge, but I want to say Mary, you guys wanted it, but there's going to be so much press.
There's tons of press. So much, I know.
That is the other thing, is like the whole thing was a whirlwind because it was like private, but it was not it just like we going on a bus. It was like private tour buses and it's like police entourage and like, you know, shutting down areas with security. It was just crazy. And to be like fresh into that world, I was like, I couldn't even keep up with what everything was happening around me.
Well, I remember, this is from my perspective, everything was going great. We get to London, you come on all the sightseeing with us, you're hanging out, that's all great. And I feel like we were encouraging you to do that. Like, oh yeah, come with us.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to be here and there and blah, we want you to do all this stuff with us. And everything is great.
Yeah, everything's good. So like, I remember I was in the back, I always stay in the back next to Mary. And like within an eye's distance of, or eye shot of her. And Kendra was always back there because she was, for whatever reason, she was going through a lot of things of like fighting her own battles with whatever, where she felt she was at or place. But it was, I was in the back. And yes, I was always invited. Even Holly, you brought it up that like, you know, you should come and this and that. And we were doing everything. And we did the clotted cream on the Tim's and like just, I think you flash Parliament or Kendra flash.
Kendra I flash did not.
Yeah. But just all the different things. And I was such a part of being welcomed. And then get to the catacombs and it all was over.
Well, we did the catacombs and that was fine.
Yeah.
Everything was fine till we got back to the hotel.
Right. Yeah.
But before we got back to the hotel, we were at the Louvre.
Yeah,
and somebody farted.
Do you remember seeing the Mona Lisa?
Well, see, the thing is that I don't think I was close to you because they got you in, and I don't think I went into that because I never saw the Mona Lisa.
You offered me your beanie at one point when I was running around with a bloody nose.
So I don't remember.
It was a panic. It was a whirlwind.
But I think
it was a moment.
I think that you after that, maybe it was around, but like I wasn't up with you with the tour by like with the Mona Lisa, because I do remember we going to like a lot of different stops, but I don't remember seeing the Mona Lisa, and I would have remembered that. But I think because there was
you would have remembered the fart.
Yeah. Well, there's a time where like security, I was kind of told, like, given that whole look, like, let them do their thing.
Yeah.
Because also the cameras were around sometimes. I don't know if in this moment, but I just knew when to like kind of stay back and be like more of a fly on the wall. But yeah, we went to the catacombs and everything. That's whenever I remember being like, oh, this is like fun with my friends. And then got back to the hotel, and whatever it was is that I was told basically from now on, you're going to just report and there's going to be security around you and we're not sending you back. It was one of those like, we're not sending you back, but just basically be a fly on the wall.
Who approached
Mary?
Him?
Mary told me everything. She didn't agree with it. She felt really bad and she didn't agree with it, but she was, you know, given the orders of like, you aren't supposed to be around Kendra or aren't supposed to be around the girls. Remember that you're a paid employee or you're paid to be here. I was not an employee, paid to be here. And it was like, be out of sight from now on. Because I remember getting to, where was it afterwards? Barcelona. Was it Rome and then Barcelona?
Barcelona first.
Because I remember Barcelona, we were there for 24 hours and the hotel was amazing. And I kind of was told, I don't even think you guys get hair and makeup there or I touched you guys up and then you went off and did your things because we got in at like 6 a.m. and we were leaving at like 6 a.m. the next day. Because I remember went out and was like, I'm going to see the city. And like, if I'm forced to do what I need to do. And I like was going to try and eat dinner and like nothing was open. And then it was like 11 o'clock and the tapas place was open. And then I went to this club that everyone told me to go to. And I'm like hanging out and no one's in there. And then like around 1:30 in the morning, these Australian girls or foreign girls came in and we started talking. And then it was like 5 and I'm like, I gotta be back to get on the plane or the hotel. But then when we got to Rome, it all like kind of sunk in. I remember calling my parents and like crying. And I was like,
aww.
No one wants me to be around. And then it was just overwhelming because they didn't put me in the same hotel.
Right.
There wasn't Uber or anything. So I didn't have foreign currency. So I like all of Paris after I was not allowed to be around there. And we were there for 4 days. And I think it happened on the first day or something like that. That I had to walk from the Arc de Triomphe or whatever it is. I was like down one of the streets. I'd walk all around and then down and then to the hotel and that's back far. Every day with my gear. Because I, in my small town mentality, I like didn't have the money for the cabs. Yeah. I didn't have the trans. So I was just like walking and doing MapQuest papers.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It was
I
crazy.
I remember you saying too that nobody was nice to you. Like you would try and ask for like, oh, yeah. how to get and money.
The language difference. It was just, I ate dinner one time on the Champs-Élysées and I asked for, I think it was a steak and fries or something. And it was like, I just wanted to, I remember Paris. I was like, I never want to go here again.
No,
because
no.
It was just one of those where I tried experiencing it. I went to like Notre Dame and I was like trying to experience the city, but I was there by myself. Mm-hmm. And I was like hurt because I wasn't able to be with my friends. Mm-hmm, and yeah. I never had that like wall put up. And so it was just one of those emotional things. And I did my best, but like I tell my husband, I'm like, we can go back to Paris. I'm like, it'll probably be a way more thrilling experience.
Yeah, completely
being there with somebody
experience.
That you're able to see the city with. But yeah, it was a lot. And I was 26 and I like hadn't seen the world. So it was just all the sensories and then everything happening that it was overwhelming.
This just in, body odor is officially canceled. For good this time. You know what? It's going to be summer and warm weather and spring break before we know it. And we're going to have to think about hot weather management, how we take care of our body, make sure we don't get BO.
Unlike certain other DOs, Lumi Whole Body Deodorant is powered by mandelic acid to deliver outrageous 72-hour odor control everywhere from the pits to your feet. And yes, even our privates. In fact, it was patients' concern about private part odor that originally inspired the OBGYN who invented Lumi. Fast forward 6 years, and her game-changing whole-body DO has now earned over 300,000 five-star reviews from people like me who love smelling great and feeling confident from head to toe. Special offer, new customers get $5 off Lumi Starter Pack with code NEXTLEVEL at LumiDeodorant.com.
I love Lumi because it's so light. It's bright, fun packaging. It's fun scents. They have like a lavender scent. And I love it not just for me, but I love to like, you know, give products to my daughter because I feel like it makes using that stuff when you first start needing it like more fun and less embarrassing. And it's just more user friendly when it's like bright and fun scents and you can put it anywhere and it's not white and chalky and gross like other stuff is. Choose from a variety of fresh, bright scents like clean tangerine, lavender sage, or toasted coconut.
Lumi Starter Pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice like mini body wash and deodorant wipes, and free shipping.
As a special offer for listeners, new customers get $5 off a Lumi Starter Pack with code NEXTLEVEL at LumiDeodorant.com. That equates to over 40% off your starter pack when you visit LumiDeodorant.com and use code NEXTLEVEL.
So way I remember it too, we did everything together in London. Everything was good. Then mm-hmm. we get to Paris and that first day there, we go into the catacombs and the Louvre and all that stuff. And then we get back and then somehow, and I don't know if we were just talking about it in general or what, but Hef got wind that you were with us on the sightseeing.
So what I think it was is that we were having great experiences. And like, if you look back at the footage of us, like, in London and I'm there with my disposable camera and all the different things. But we are engaging each other like friends do. And I think that hearing from what I process now being my age is I'm like, he heard another guy getting the attention and getting the relationship that he didn't have control over.
Right. And plus, like you said before, like you said, you saw everybody switch when Hef was around. So maybe mm-hmm. even with Hef right next to you, like if you're talking to Steven, it's going to be a little bit of a different side of you than Hef even sees.
Yeah.
And he could have got alarmed because he used to get really pissed at me like anytime I was excited or lit up about something. Mm-hmm. So when he senses that energy shift, it like pisses him off.
And the thing is that I think just especially you nailed it is that like, we were talking like friends and there would be many times that even looking back is like the way that we talked to each other, there was like energy and happiness. And like, even when the times when we're getting getting glam for like the parties. And there's a different bond that if he's in Aries like me, mm-hmm. and relating to how we think, it's like a threat because there's a connection that he in no way can have. Plus the past history that I learned that like girlfriends would say that they're hanging out with their hairdresser and it's their boyfriend.
Yeah, totally.
So like having that relationship, that's what Mary told me it mm-hmm. was. I think it was more of the threat of a bond that he couldn't control.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
So Mary comes up to you and tells you, no, no more of this.
Yeah, I think it's whenever I showed up, it was just more like Mr. Hefner is not very happy with the whatever word they use for like the rendezvousing with the girls.
Fraternization
yeah. or something like that. And from now on, you will have whoever was the security,
Steven,
and they'll be with you while you get them ready. And then you
and have to do it in Mary's room.
Yep.
Because I think it was in our room at first. And then it was like, nope, now it has to be in Mary's room. And security's going to be standing at the door.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it was Steven. And he knew how stupid it was. Because he would just be like.
I mean, I knew how stupid it was. But I also respected it because I was there to get a job. But to me, it was more of like, I knew I didn't do something wrong. But I was so young and so naive to think that, and I mean this in the nicest way, but at the time that it was a friendship mm-hmm. more than it was a job. And like over the years, we've remained friends and have a relationship. But at that time, I literally was there and I misplaced. And it was that first reality of what I've learned many times over is that a lot of times a working relationship can get misconstrued and the boundaries can get diminished to where you don't realize that this is still a job. Mm-hmm. No matter how
friendly
you are, this still is a job.
Well, there was a lot of drama. Now, I don't know if Hef just got like super tired at this point in the trip or what.
I was tired. He was.
There was so much drama. Like Keith sent his date home.
She was weird.
Was she?
Yeah. I just remember being like, what is going on with that?
I just remember her being nice.
No, but it was, she was weird, but it was one of those like, I felt like she was there for a purpose. Like I said, with some of the girls.
He thought so too. Well, and no, that's why she got set.
It's a prime example of when I mentioned about the playmates that would come there and I'm like, oh, you just are coming to get famous, mm-hmm. which is what you do. I mean, yeah. you're there's a monetary change when you're using your body for profit, which mm-hmm. is what playmates were doing is they're using their bodies to make money and to also elevate their profile. Mm-hmm. But she was like, I could tell, I'm like, you're here to like get wined and dined and live the life. And
interesting. Yeah. Well, he
didn't like it. Yeah.
and then you, there was rumors. I mean, I don't know if you were just oversensitive or what, but you were like, they were almost going to send me home.
I remember that. Like, I thought I was very emotional. Like I really was because I was just like, oh my God. Cause you're traveling with strangers.
Mm-hmm. You're in another country.
Oh my God, Rome. I have to remind you to tell you about Rome. but I thought that they were going to send me home. And then it was just like that whole, like, was I not doing my job? And also I will tell you that much is that I have since handled it, but I had major social anxiety and just anxiety in general to where I always was worried about not doing a good job or the mistakes and almost self
like deprecating.
And so it was that it started putting that doubt that mm-hmm. like I think a lot of people have, but also like it was prone to me because I never was successful at a lot of things that I did and makeup was always the thing that came natural. And so when these little glitches would happen where I didn't realize that's not on my talent. It's on the people's choices or personalities. It affected me much more in a negative way. And so that's where I think that it was just very, very emotional for me because I wanted to reach out and be everyone's friend and please everyone, but I wasn't. But then I also would, snap myself out of it a little bit. But I also, like Kendra was, I forget the exact, but she was always going through a battle of like not liking this, not liking the way she's been handled, not like just very emotional.
It really seems that way to us watching season two back, because we keep talking about it. Like, we never knew during the season what we were going to get. Like, sometimes our friendship would be great, and sometimes she'd be really aggressive and like kind of want to like take up the whole space, and like nobody else can have a word in edgewise. And it was odd and confusing. And even looking back on it, it's just like up and down and up and down.
One minute she'd be like, oh my God, I love you, Steven. You're like my brother, you know, like this and that. And then the next minute I was like a fly on the wall. It did not matter. I mean, that's how our relationship ended. Our relationship ended with her using an entire another glam team for her wedding. And like,
Oh,
that's a whole story.
Oh, we got to get to
that. Yeah, we'll get to that for sure. But yeah, it was just crazy because there was just so much drama all at once, and it all happened like right as we got to Paris.
Yeah, we got to Paris. It was one of those things where looking back, I don't think that, I think Hef knew because he was so busy. Like there's so many things that like he was responsible for because of the people that were coming on the plane, that I don't think he realized who every single person was or questioned it, because he's just like living Hef's life. That I think it caught up whenever he saw the dialogue and me, and that figured out that I wasn't probably a security guard or something other than like the makeup artist, and that closeness. But there was definitely drama. I know that Mary was getting very over it with like the scheduling and just having to manage everything because it was such a high like caliber, like just everything that was going on, and things kept getting added and added to the schedule or like more complicated. So I think he got really tired, but then I think it was just like everything came to a head in Paris.
Yeah, something went wacky with our schedule too, where I thought we were going to get a chance to sleep in between Cannes and Paris, but we didn't. And we were scheduled to go to the catacombs super early in the morning. And I'm like, I haven't slept like one minute.
I think everybody kind of felt that way. And then Kendra and I get in a fight. I was hoping you remembered about it.
I just remember that there was always a battle over the chair. And like you all, like I said prior, that you always managed everything and kind of like took the brunt of like of whatever to accommodate everyone. And you're like, less time, you weren't happy about it, but you made it work. We made it work. We would always, you were always adapting. But I also think that like that fight happened and I was not in the room, because that's whenever I had to go to Mary's. And by the time that I got there, I was getting where you were frustrated. Mary, I want to say, was just telling everyone to deal with it and just to suck it up. Kendra, like I said, to me, I just remember Kendra being in the back of the bus in London and then being like very disconnected from like the experience and always relying on Mary to like make her happy. And like whenever the cameras came on, I think it was more of a turn switch. On and switch and like overly acting out. But I just remember her not being in the best mood.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just know she overslept and then I got blamed for it.
Yeah.
And then she called me a fucking bitch.
Yeah. That doesn't surprise me. She was very lacking on taking any responsibilities.
Well, I remember too. And you'll probably remember this, that I always had to be the first one in the makeup chair.
Yeah.
Because she wouldn't get up early. And then and even if they had scheduled her to be the first one, we couldn't count on her to be there on time. And so it would have cut into my time. So I always had to be the first one in the chair.
Right. And in my head, I thought that you always wanted to be so that you didn't have to compromise the amount of time that you had.
Well, I didn't want to be the first one up and sitting in the chair, but given the situation,
that way you got my full attention and my in the full time, where Kendra was always like, let's throw in a ponytail, put some black eyeliner on, do your mascara, and like whatever we can get on you.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then didn't Hef think that you guys were sleeping together, you and Kendra?
I think that was the overall, because like I said, the way that everybody was talking, and then the fact that like I always was around Kendra.
So how'd the rest of the trip go?
The rest of the trip, I mean, I made the most of it. I remember Mary telling me to see Rome, it was beautiful. And I was like, oh, and I looked at MapQuest and I was like, oh, it's not that big. And so I like walked all of Rome. And then the next, were we there for 2 days? 3 days.
I think Rome a couple days, and we had that one day where we drove off to Pompeii.
Yes. So when you guys went to Pompeii, I wasn't allowed to go, and I was so mad that I couldn't go. I wanted to just go on the bus and go and do my own tours, and they would not let me go.
Ugh. Sucks. It's so funny. I saw this ad the other day on TV where this guy walks into the gym, and he's like, yeah, I want to cancel my membership. And they're like, they get over the thing. They're like, we have a quitter on us. And they're like, okay, we're going to need to see your original birth certificate. And he's like,
right?
My birth certificate and your passport. And he's like, but my mom has my birth certificate in Ohio. Like, what? And they're like, quitter, quitter, quitter. And it's just so funny how it's like so hard to quit the gym once you start. Like, they have you sign these forever memberships.
Yeah. It just makes me think of like how the weight loss industry is kind of like a crazy cash machine, and it runs on just desperation and crazy diets, weight loss products that are temporary. You can gain it all back. So you really have to be like careful about like making your choices.
But not when you visit Sono Bello. Sono Bello is the only way to permanently lose unwanted fat and inches.
Sono Bello doctors are masters in micro laser fat removal.
Wherever you have stubborn fat, tummy, sides, thighs, arms,
smile. It's going away permanently in one visit.
Ask about their modern techniques to eliminate sagging and loose skin. No more feeling embarrassed, shy, and uncomfortable about your body.
No more hiding in baggy clothes.
No more lights off, darkened room, pretending it's more intimate.
Give yourself the gift of a full body reset. You deserve to be happy. Schedule your free consultation. Learn all about micro laser fat removal. Sono Bello is running a great special right now. Visit sonobello.com/next level. Sono BELLO.com/next level.
But I also, Rome was emotional because I was like, you know, I'm going to do my own thing. And my husband will laugh at this because it's a Stephenism, because I booked a tour that was supposed to like show me around Rome. And I got on the wrong bus and it started leaving the city to like go out. And I literally got off, made them stop the bus and walked back into Rome.
Oh, scary.
Because I was like, but it was that naive, like not understanding everything and being like in a whirlwind. I was like, okay, now I'm trying to do my own thing and I'm getting off the bus bus and getting into trouble. And then I was like, oh, I'm just going to stay at the hotel.
So. I remember being so bummed that you couldn't just come with us on all our things. Mm-hmm. Like, there was no reason why you couldn't come to the Colosseum and go to the tour in Pompeii and go do things. You didn't have to, like, necessarily be, like, right on camera and hanging out with us.
I remember you still fought for me to Mary being like, why can't he just go? And Mary was like, no, Hef does not want to see him.
Yeah.
And it was one of those, Pompeii, I knew it was the one time. Everything else I could go and see on my own. Mm-hmm. But Pompeii, I was like, this is like once in a lifetime. Like, why can't I just go so I can at least get there and then see it myself? And she's like, you're not going to get on the bus or whatever it was.
Damn. Were you happy to be home?
I remember it was a whirlwind. I told my husband this already, but like the guy that I was dating picked me up and he made some comment about being at the mansion, and I was so pissed off because I was so like in like this is my future, my career, that I broke up with him.
Wait, what happened? He was like all excited because
he came and picked me up, and he like went through the rock and came up, and he had like this Porsche, and I was just like, he had just gotten in, and I like looked at him, and he's like picking me up for this trip, and he talked down about it because of it being like Playboy and like the whole like, you know, this the perceptions, and literally he dropped me off, and then I broke up with him. But no, I remember being back, but I also, it was one of those where I knew that that was a job, but I also knew because you fought for me and Kendra wasn't happy about the situation, is that's where I knew that I just stay away from Hef's eye line. Mm-hmm. And so like whenever I was in that room, you notice I never, if I saw you, I knew that he was somewhere near and I would gauge it because there was all the doors and I could like push the door and see, or you could hear, because everything changed when Hef was coming around.
Yeah.
And it was always announced when he was coming down because you would say hi to him. And then you'd say hi and then you'd say hi. And then everyone's like, hi, honey. And so it was like
That's so funny.
So it was like the announcement that I could just like get out of the way. And if I ever was stuck in a room with him, I would always try and like sit down or like just so that he wouldn't see me.
You're like, I'm not here.
It was, but so here's the timeline, though, is I did, because I remember it did hurt me because we were both Aries and born on April 9th. And I went to his birthday party. And
I have a picture. I'm going to post it. Okay. But I'm in pasties, but oh well.
And I'm in Paul Frank pajamas.
Yeah.
And I was so proud. And I was like, because I got ready with Kara and like went there and had the time of our lives. And it was just so much fun. And then.
Wait, how did you get invited?
Kara brought me in the public. Like I was Kara's plus one.
Okay.
However it was, mm-hmm. I got in, and I want to say because Kara or Rob approved it, let me go in. But then after that, I was never allowed.
Oh wow!
I was like, it was almost like one of those like you weren't supposed to. It wasn't done the right way. You mm-hmm. weren't supposed to be able to go.
Interesting.
But yeah, because I went to one party, and then I would be at like the Playmate, like Kara's Playmate of the Year. I was there where Hef was around, and then like the jobs and stuff. But like whenever I made like I was like, do not. Let him see you because you'll not have a job.
Oh yeah.
I don't think you came on any other trips with us, did mm-hmm. you?
No.
And I know the next time we go to Europe, they don't bring a makeup artist with us. Mm-hmm. And I was so bummed. And they're like, we're just gonna do people that are there.
Yeah.
And that did not work out that well.
Yeah, because I was there for up until trying to think when my last hoorah was. I was there like 3 years, 4 years.
Well, you started in what, 2006?
Early 2006, because we went the summer of 2006 to Europe.
And mm-hmm. we were gone by 2009, or right around early 2009. So, for sure.
Well, I know that I was there like at least 3 or 4 years, but the last year it was less and less because I want to say Kendra was leaving, or like there was like coming and goings and whatever. But the big reason, because you and Sarah worked a lot, mm-hmm. The makeup artist Sarah. And I think you had more of a friendship, whatever the separations, because me and Kendra did get close. Mm-hmm. And she brought me in for a lot of different things. Like even outside, like we did Ripe TV. I did Ripe TV with Kendra. She brought me to Super Bowl. But we had a falling out, but it was more of her not understanding the dynamics because I had started working with Kim K and was Kim's publicist. Or handler that did all the events and parties wanted to work with Kendra. I put him in touch with Kendra. And within 6 months, he had his boyfriend doing Kendra's makeup and I was out of the scene.
Ew, they poached.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
And I had known this guy and had gotten him work with Kim and then Kendra. And then he had me moved out. And that's why I was at Kendra's wedding, but I went with Tiffany, and it was that very much like, wow, you literally just like kind of stabbed me in the back.
Wow.
But I also crazy. Was like, you're so unaware of like anything that's going on, like with politics of like relationships and dynamics and everything. Yeah, I have no ill will, but it's one of those where it did burn because it was one of those where I felt like I was, you know, very close to her. And then I, you know, she would let me know like where we had just like, I felt like I was protecting her. Mm-hmm. But then it was one of those where I was like, oh, and it's business.
And it was a big life moment that you should have been a part of.
Yeah. But, you know, I've had a lot of moments that I wouldn't change anything at this point. But the thing that I find very interesting, and this is not just like Kendra, is I feel like a lot of people, you get in the cycle of like relevance and not that you want to be relevant, but we live in a society in LA where your relevance is your dollar.
Yeah.
And like then having those bad influences, not that it's an excuse, but like a reasoning of why.
Can we talk about the Kardashian episode we were on? The most iconic "You're Doing Great, Sweetie" from season one,
oh my
Kim
God,
shot
yes.
her pictorial. So that day was so weird. So for those who don't know, Kim shot a Playboy pictorial and she had a music video director shoot the first set of photos. And they weren't really like to Hef standards. Like they were beautiful, but they didn't show a lot of nudity. And it wasn't like the typical Playboy style. And they were kind of like artfully blurry kind of, and he wanted like a regular like Playmate style shoot from her. So they had her come back in. It was all like covered for the show, and she like wasn't really wanting to do nudity that day. She's like, I have mosquito bites. I just came back from vacation. Like at the studio, they're trying to get, and I was not involved in this pictorial. I only did playmates. I didn't do like, I was there that day and they had me like pop on and say hi on camera, but like I wasn't in charge of the celebrity pictorials. But that was such a crazy day because Kim specifically wanted you to do her makeup and she had you there for that. But then
I wasn't allowed to do her makeup.
I know, because then everybody on the Playboy team was like, no, we want like the typical playmate pictorial. So they wanted Sarah to do it, but nobody was like being up front with each other. So you're kind of standing there like this and Sarah's kind of doing the makeup and Sarah's like, oh my God, I think everybody's mad at me. And it was just such a weird, weird thing. It was bizarre. Like nobody was like being up front or talking to each other. It was just like the Playboy people trying to get the Playboy look and Kim wanted to do this. And then people over here aren't told. And it was so weird.
So going to the episodes and editing. So one of the editors I befriended and he would tell me that literally he would, the camera people would look on me because I would always react to certain things with eye rolls or whatever, but he would place them in to make me looking like I was rolling my eyes at you or rolling my eyes at Kendra. So I always thought that was funny. But the other thing is that, yeah, I was doing Kim and Kim, I knew the backlog of like, she had shot those pictures with the pictures with the, she had shot
Williams, I think did it.
She had shot them way previously and to submit and then they didn't want them. And then she wanted me, but then that was back to once again, thinking Playboy didn't want me to be doing anything in the magazine because she was fighting for it. Chris was fighting for it. I was that weird time where I was still doing you guys, but I was also doing Kim, and I was like doing all, like every episode of E was like, I was a part of, but it was one of those where at the same time they're doing all that. But then I have a storyline of setting Kara up with Robert Kardashian.
Oh, I didn't see that episode.
Her episode.
Oh, that's funny.
And so it was like, it was one of those where when I'm in there, getting Chris ready. And then I was there, but Kim, when the door closed and the cameras weren't there, she had me like tweak her makeup.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah.
But it was one of those where I was torn because I'm like, I know this side of the family and I know this side of the family, but I want to make everybody happy.
Yeah.
And that's one where my anxiety started getting more worse because I was like learning how to balance between the girls next door, Kardashians, and like making everybody happy. But I was like up against the publicists and the teams. And
Well,
I have a confession to make about that episode too. That was sort of the Kardashians were still kind of a new show coming up, and they said they were going to do this. And I was pissed about it because I felt like they were trying to steal kind of what our nuance of our show and put it on their show to give them.
Well, Kevin agreed with you and Kevin told Hef, don't do it. They're trying to like, I don't know what the right word is.
Of us, sort of.
Well, it was like E trying to take their hit show and be like, let's build up the new show.
Yes.
And Kevin was like, Hef, don't do it. And Hef wanted to do it. So.
And so I was pissed. And they were like, we want all of you guys to like show up at the studio or something like that. And I think Kendra went there for a minute, but I refused.
I don't think she was there.
No, she didn't. No,
I thought she did.
Because I remember, I'm glad you brought that up because that was one of the times where I was like, I felt more anxiety because I was your makeup artist. And then I was also Kim's makeup artist and everybody was the same to me. Mm-hmm. They've always been the same.
Yeah.
Like, and you know, like I saw all the turning of the storm that is like Hollywood and you're just like the small kid that's just wanting to make everybody happy. And so it was just, I remember that because you were not having it.
I was not having it at all. And it wasn't anything to do with Kim or them personally. I just really felt like they were trying to kind of poach off of our success and our fame and the iconic Playboy thing that we had going for us. Mm-hmm. They were trying to use that to get views for their show. And I felt like it was very used kind of. And I was like, I'm not going to play into that. I'm not doing it.
I know that that was never expressed from that side of the team. Kim, from when I was there, is she didn't want to reshoot.
Yeah.
And she was just appeasing so that she could be in Playboy.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't anything about the show other than wanting to be in Playboy.
Yeah. I think it was more the network wanted to like pair it up and like, yeah. oh, this show's new. So let's like.
But I felt like even putting her wanting to be in Playboy or shooting for Playboy or doing Playboy, period, was taking something away from our show. Something that made us unique.
Which is valid. But I think that like from where I was sitting, being on both sides, is you were telling me that. And I'm like, no, Kim just wants to be in Playboy and have that like Marilyn Monroe, like also do something that she's done and like be in Playboy. And I see it. You were looking from like the producer side, like, I don't want them taking away from our show. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
But it was nothing personal against her. Like, I have nothing against her or any of them personally. Yeah. It was just more of, no, stay in your lane. Yeah. Like, do what you guys do. We're doing what we do and our thing is Playboy, you know? Was there anything else to add about that before I move on?
I don't think so. I think that was it. It was just like a fun day. And like, I remember Chris being there and she was super funny and she'd like hide in my office if she needed to be out of the shot and stuff.
Yeah.
Tell us who else you work with. Because, okay, the Kardashians.
So I went from working with you guys to working with the Kardashians, all of them. And then doing I worked with her a little bit, but my last like time stamp was when she got married to Chris Humphries was Kim K. I did Kim K all the way up until Chris Humphries. Mm-hmm. And then at the same time, I started working with Mel B. And that was iconic because I had always said I wanted to be moved to LA to travel the world and see everywhere. And like, we went on, like, I was always on a plane. Like,
I bet that was fun.
It was fun. It was a crazy time, iconic moments. I moved to Australia with her in 2011 and lived there for 2 years and then came back and did America's Got Talent in New York. And then after that, so I did 6 years of just Mel.
Wow.
And like that whole like being someone's personal makeup artist, doing everything they do. And then we went separate ways in 2013 and then 2015, I got sober and I had a year of finding myself. And then 2015, I got a job opportunity working in the beauty business, designing cosmetic tools.
Oh, fun.
So I did that for 3 years.
Well, you had an eyelash line somewhere in there.
Well, so yeah, in 2009, I started an eyelash line, Smoke and Mirrors Beauty. And it was super successful. I did custom lashes for like Carrie Underwood and like everybody that you could think of was using them, and they were in all the different magazines. But we dissolved the company because my business partner didn't want to grow it the same way. And it just was kind of like one of those things where when you and your friend go 50-50 and you don't have that business sense, but dissolved that. And then I was supposed to do my own brush line with Anissa International. And that, after developing that with them, they kind of sold all my brushes off to other brands and then released me 3 years into the working with them. Yeah.
Annoying.
Annoying life lesson, learning that once you are working corporate, if you take a full-time job, they can take anything you design and do as intellectual property. So there's a lot of amazing brushes out there that should have been my brand. But since then, once I got sober, I focused on what made me happy, and it's working with people and making them feel really beautiful and empowered. I still work with celebrities and have a roster of them, but I just focus more on like my brand and building the legacy that I want. And so I've got a lot of exciting, fun things that I'm working on that I can probably talk about in a little bit of time.
That's awesome. It's so exciting.
Did you were working in Georgia for a little while. Did I reach out to you when you were in Georgia?
You reached out about the lashes because I think I had sent you lashes and then you wanted some more lashes.
No, I never got them.
You never got them. Well, they're gone. But you know what I will tell you is that I used some on you, but the Ardell makes pretty much the same lashes I made.
Yeah.
And I use all Ardell's because there's all the naked lashes are pretty much what Smoke and Mirrors Beauty used to be.
Well, I just thought maybe I reached out to you one time because I heard you were in Georgia and I was filming for Yahoo in Georgia. And I thought I reached out to you at one point to see if you could do my makeup. They hired somebody local
in Atlanta. I mean, yeah, I don't remember that. But also, I remember one time you asking about lashes, and then I said that I didn't have the lashes anymore.
Yeah. And then you came back to LA.
I'm back in LA. Me and my husband, he's the photographer, and we shoot a lot more like beauty stuff. So like I've worked with Beauty Blender and shot for Jouer, and trying to think of all the other brands. He's shot for Fenty, Savage. So we focus on like shooting all the beauty content and doing more of that impactful stuff rather than being a celebrity makeup artist.
That's awesome.
The one thing is, in the best way, is I'm like, I've worked with so many amazing celebrities, mm-hmm. and I work with so many more, but I'm like, to me, it's not about like the clout of working with a celebrity that yeah. I do what I do, because we all, at the end of the day, we're all people. Mm-hmm. And so I'm past that whole like, oh, I want to work with this person because I'm going to be this in this position or having yeah. that social climb, if you will, or yeah. political climb.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you ever get to work with Christina Aguilera?
I did not. Aww. And I, yeah, I did not. But I think Mel was my Christina, because I thought I would travel the world with Christina Aguilera and do so many different things. And I thought that was what's going to happen with Kim. But then I traveled with her several different times, and she does not travel the same way that I like to travel. Mm. And she's like very much like would go somewhere, wouldn't leave the hotel. And like Mel was like, oh, we're going to Milan, and then we're going to go out, and then we're going to go to dinner. And we're, you know,
yeah.
it was more like.
Mel is a force of nature. Much energy.
Lots of energy.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then we got reunited, and you did my hair. Well, you did my makeup.
Yeah.
For, you don't do hair anymore.
No, I don't do hair anymore.
Why not?
Imagine my kit if I had to pull my. I think that just the more that I, because I, when I first started working with Kim, I was doing hair and makeup, and it just got to the point where I would only started doing her makeup because of how busy it was. And then I just was like never doing my hair kit, and it just was one of those like I'm not gonna do it anymore. Yeah. I mean, if somebody needs hair done, I can like fake it, mm-hmm. but I don't need to like I don't have that in my repertoire anymore.
Yeah, but we got reunited. We did mm-hmm. You did my hair makeup, or you did my makeup. Sorry, I keep saying mm-hmm. it. You did my makeup for Entertainment Tonight.
Yeah, how'd that go?
It went good, but it's not out yet. Or maybe by the time this airs.
I mean, I saw them put a TikTok clip up of it, but I haven't been alerted that the thing aired. It was supposed to be for season finale of Playboy Murders. So that's still like a month away.
Okay.
Yeah. So we got, we reunited, talked about everything, but we couldn't talk.
Yeah.
I'm
like, zip,
zip, zip, yeah. Because see, I thought this is how social media portrays it is I didn't think you lived in LA anymore.
Oh.
Because when I moved out here.
A lot of people think that.
Yeah, because I would have reached out sooner to just be like, hey, what's going on? Like how, like, because I feel like I'm in Calabasas, Hidden Hills area all the time.
Yeah, so. I've never left LA.
Yeah.
So it's weird because you're not the first one to say that.
Well, also some people still don't know that I live in LA, and some people didn't ever know that I left LA.
Yeah, so. That's funny. Yeah.
Because it's LA.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was such a fun conversation.
Yeah. I know.
Catch up.
Yeah, definitely. That's thanks so for amazing. Having me.
Yeah.
I think it's such an iconic time. And I think it's great that like to be able to like revisit it. And thanks for reminding me that it's almost 20 years ago.
I know. Like, how did that happen? The show started 19 years ago.
I know.
That's nuts. But if you guys would like more content, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/girlsnextlevel. And we will see you guys next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.